Well, welcome to the Non-League Roundup Show, and we're here for the next hour. And I'm pleased to say that joining us today, of course, on the show today is the guys from Cribs. So it's really pleased to have you on the show, guys. And of course, we've got Rich with us, Aaron with us, and Steve will be with us after he's finished training later. And of course, also as well, later on, about 10 to 8, we'll go back down the mouse hole, and Andrew Large will join us with an update from, of course, I think it was FA Trophy this week, of course, in their victorious win against Tavistock. So they will come on and talk to us about that. And I suppose first things first, guys, if you don't mind, just let me to take a couple of minutes. And people will wonder why I'm sitting here and the Repos sign is not behind me. Of course, last Thursday, the Southern League lost their press officer in Mr. Steve Whitney, a very, very good friend of mine. And in the picture you can see just behind me, I was actually sitting to his left when that picture was taken at the award ceremony 2 years ago. That we are going to be doing a tribute video for him on YouTube, getting people's thoughts on Steve and the condolences to his wife, of course, as well. But for me tonight, I just said to the lads before we went live, it just felt like it was the right dark night to make sure my mate was on the show with us tonight. And so you'll be able to see Steve, one of the greatest guys you'll see in non-league football. God bless to you, sir. And we send all the love to Steve's family tonight. But guys, I mean, with Cribs, I mean, tell us, I suppose a lot of people will be saying, who are Cribs? Tell us a little bit about the club, because I mean, new to the Southern League this year. And I mean, talk to us about sort of last season and getting up from step five into step four, and tell us a little bit about the club in general.
Yeah, I'll start with it, I guess. We were formed in 1958 as a work team for AXA Sun Life Insurance. And obviously that was, they relocated to Bristol from London, I think in the 70s. If I'm inaccurate on this, I'm going to get told off by the committee, but this is my best explanation of it. And then following that, since I've been with the club the last four seasons, we've been promoted from the Hellenic League, which we won last year with a record number of points. We got 100 points across the season. We had the best defensive record in the country, keeping 25 clean sheets in the league. And yeah, we've obviously made a steady sort of start to the Southern League. I met Aaron 4 years ago when I took it on. Aaron was already with the club. And I moved sort of from the Hampshire area to take it on. And, you know, after sort of meeting Aaron a couple of times, it was a no-brainer to keep him involved. And, you know, me and Aaron have been manager and assistant in that whole time, really. And it's sort of been steady progress since I took it on.
I mean, what was that like, you know, having a season like that last year? I mean, I know I was with a club where, you know, we got over 100 points. You scored over 100 goals in the same season and basically didn't get up because there was another team, a bit like Notts County Wrexham last year. And there was another team that did exactly the same but got one more point than we did and got promoted, and we missed out on the playoffs. But I mean, what was it like, you know, scoring those goals, and how long into the season was it looking at and thinking to yourself, we're going to win this?
I suppose, you know, in terms of the enjoyment level, it feels like an age away, really. It feels like so long ago that, you know, it happens, but it was a bit of a whirlwind. I think, you know, I was given the advice, enjoy a title run in because, you know, they're the best seasons you have, but they're difficult to enjoy. I mean, the stress levels are through the roof. You know, we were winning a lot of games by the odd goalkeeping. You know, we won 1-0 in a lot of fixtures last year and we were defensively sound, and that was why we won the division ahead of sort of Corsham and Malvern, who were second and third. I guess, you know, the enjoyment was the four-day celebration after winning it. I wanted to, really. And everything sort of come out then, didn't it, Cranks? We had a good
sort of... Yeah, very, very good. Very good times, those 4 days.
I think the hangover from those was sort of first day back in pre-season, the middle of June, probably. But, you know... We had Malvern a real good, you know, competition for us, as were Corsham. You know, all three teams, the point totals that they got would have won the division the year before. So, you know, we were up against two excellent sides, and to come out on top of those was difficult, but I think thoroughly deserved. I don't think anyone in the league could say that we didn't deserve to win it. We only lost two games all season. You know, we had the best goal difference, won the most games, best home record. You know, all of the numbers were in our favour. But even though we won the division by 8 points, you know, going into early sort of March, it was neck and neck, us and Melbourne. You know, they'd obviously played a couple of games more than us, so we constantly had pressure on every single game. You know, and I look back to, we won 2-0 up here against Longlevens in what was, I mean, everything was against us on the day. It was about 100-mile-an-hour gale force winds, and they're the toughest games to win, you know, when the ball's floating out of play and goal kicks are coming back at you. But we just had a mentality that we wouldn't be beaten, and that's sort of probably the reason why we've started okay this year, really, is because we built up that sort of resilience and that never say die attitude, and you know, it's carried us through, really.
But here's Steve, I just saw him pop up on the top of my screen. But I mean, with that though, do you always feel that, you know, when a team, you know, wins a league like that, you know, that you always get that sort of bounce as well going into the next year? I mean, we see it quite often in, you know, in sort of professional football as well, where a team wins a league the year before and then gets that sort of, you know, 9 times out of 10 gets that sort of bit of a bounce and goes into a bit of a run the following season.
Yeah, I guess we have. I mean, you know, not everyone's had that bounce, you know, of being promoted. I mean, Melbourne have had a little bit more of a tougher start, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, they're a brilliant side. They'll have no problems this year, but we've used it to our advantage. I think the dressing room is the reason for that. I mean, when you make a lot of changes in the dressing room, I think you lose that momentum and that buzz very, very quickly. We kept together everyone from last year, and the players we've come have sort of had to earn their stripes in the dressing room. And, you know, we fish out bad characters very, very quickly. And I think that's allowed us to keep that momentum, is the fact that we've kept the nucleus of last year and we haven't made 4 or 5 big signings, you know, like lots of sides do. So, yeah, I mean, the bounce is, I don't know if it's been a bounce because we've only got 1 point for our first 2. I think we just accustomed ourselves to the level quite quickly, and we realise that to get points on the board at this level of football, you've got to be very, very organised, and you've got to have a punch back in the other direction, you know, and we've learned very quickly, and we were good at that. When we have a setback, we analyse the reasons why and find ways to sort of counteract them and hopefully learn from the lessons, and the same thing not happen twice. But yeah, I mean, it's mostly been cup games so far, David. So unfortunately, we've had good results up here and knocked out Biddeford and Bashley out of the FA Trophy, but we still only have 7 points on the board. And, you know, that's because we've only had 4 games and 6 of them been cup. So
it's a bit of a weird thing that, though, isn't it, at the beginning of the season? I know, I mean, I sort of follow and do the radio commentary for Enfield Town, and it's the same sort of thing with them. It's been sort of like cup, league. And it just feels like you just can't get a rhythm going, especially in the league when you've got so many sort of cup games. It always baffles me that you get like FA Trophy 1 week and then the next week you just bounce straight into FA Trophy, and then you've got a week grace and then you're back into one or the other again. You just don't seem to get that sort of, especially if you've had a bad result in one of the cups and then you've got the other cup coming up sort of right round the corner. It could, you know, it sort of almost affects the result of the one coming up.
Yeah, well, the bank holiday weekend helped us. I mean, I'll stop talking in a minute. I'll allow someone else to sort of answer the question. But the bank holiday weekend helped us. You know, we knew going into Bristol Manor Farm on the bank holiday Friday, and then we had the bank holiday Monday at Malvern, that if we didn't get good points in those, you know, we'd have lost both those fixtures rather than winning them both. The cup games feel like a bit of a hindrance. You know, if we'd have sat there on 1 point after 4 games, you're thinking, oh, bloody hell, we need to get some points here. And, you know, fortunately, we got 2 wins and we got 7. And we sit a couple of places outside the playoffs. That means absolutely nothing, but it just gives you that bit of freedom to enjoy the cup games, I guess. So that's where it's been more enjoyable for us. And it's our first time in the trophy, you know, and it's been the first time we got that far in an FA Cup and first time we beat the Southern Premier League team. So I think we're just enjoying breaking the records at the minute.
So what's the furthest, I mean, I'll ask Darren, what's the furthest, you know, that Cribs have got in, you know, sort of those FA Vars that you've been in previously and FA Cup?
Second qualifying there, Lafers. I think that's the furthest we've got in there.
In the FA Cup, and it was when you and Beach were in the Vars, I think.
Yeah, well, that was that second qualifying as well, though.
No, I think I'm the geek of the management team. I know all the stats. So yeah, it was the fourth round proper in the FA.
And there we go.
gave us. That was when Tony Beecham was in charge with, and Aaron was part of his management team. And yeah, they got quite far in that. So that's the only record I don't think I've managed to sort of take over so far. So yeah, the Vars wasn't a particularly strong one for me.
But I mean, playing in the FA Trophy, what's that been like playing up against, you know, clubs that, you know, I mean, sort of non-league wise, are sort of the big boys as such, and in that. And I know, like, you know, the club that, say, Enfield Town, I do, we just looked at the draw today and see we've got Chesham. And you think, so, oh, dear me, you know, could we have not got anything a little bit easier than Chesham? Do you know what I mean? And then we've got Hal Zoen in the FA Cup away as well. And you just look at those two fixtures and you're quite happy because they're outside your own league, because you don't necessarily like playing teams inside your own league, but real tough ones. But I mean, what about yourselves?
I think personally, you know, the experiences that we've gone to, like these ever grounds, the facility wise, suggests it's another level nowadays. You know, that Swindon Supermarine, they were the outstanding hospitality there. The grounds in general, you know, like we're going to places now where they've got, you know, we haven't come across it before, but they've got sprinklers coming out the pitch and, you know, silly things like that. It's, you know, you don't come across it at our standard. So it's a joy to, you know, go to these places, really, and you know, take the whole experience in.
Yeah. I suppose it's a bit different from when, you know, when you were a bit lower down, even at step, you know, when clubs are at sort of step six, step seven, or you know, that sort of area. And instead of a sprinklers, you have to go around picking up the dog poo.
Exactly that, yeah.
Well, I mean, it must be sort of, and ask Steve, because Steve's joined, and welcome, Steve. But I mean, it's, how excited, you know, yourself are you, you know, of sort of getting into the Southern League? And did you guys ever sort of think that it was ever going to happen? Did you ever feel that you was going to get to the Southern League, or did you feel like, yeah, we've got a good side here, we're definitely going to do it?
Probably when I come to the club, it was a far distant memory, chance of it happening. So this club weren't a very, they were very ambitious to the club, no disrespect, but since nothing has come in, he's obviously pushed the club on and brought players in that have not got the quality to win games at level step five. But obviously we had that first season in the Hellenic, and we won the cup, and we ended the season really well. I think other than the middle 2 months of the season, our form was championship quality, but we bottomed out in November, December time when the pitches got wet, and we went in the summer, we looked at that, and then I think that's something that we were conscious of. And then when we won the league last year, we our form was brilliant, really. Obviously, only one team beat us. So I think we all had a little bit of an eye on the Southern League. There's a mixture of our group that some of us have played in the Southern League, some haven't. But it's just a great blend, really, of lads. Like the lads that haven't played, they're buzzing now. Like they're going, like Frank said, to these grounds, these facilities, playing against better players, testing themselves against better sides. And that's brilliant. Like I said, we're just, everything's new at the moment. But long may it continue, because we want to stay here and want to keep building and keep trying to break the boundaries, break the ceiling.
What's with the grounds that, you know, that you're going around? Is there one that you know, individually, is, you know, between the three of you, is there grounds there that you look at and you think, I'm really looking forward to going there? I mean, is there sort of clubs that you look at and think, that's quite a big club, you know, in that sort of area that you want to go and see?
I've got my eye on Wimborne, to be honest. I've seen Wimborne, silly, I've not played there since, but I've not played there since they've moved. But I don't know if anyone remembers Wimborne's old ground. It wasn't nice. It was very open. The pitch was slanted on one side, and their facility looks amazing, to be honest. Melton Town's another one. I played at Melton for a short spell, and I know if you get out on the right day, it can be very windy there. But that's a brilliant surface and a great facility. But there's loads of others. Bit of I've always been good playing at. I'm sure like Nuffers has got knowledge of the club down that way, Salisbury and stuff. So that seems to be another one to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've got to be honest, you know, I'm so desperate. for it to beat these sides. And I know we're one of the smallest clubs in the division, if not the smallest. We're at the smallest budget by a country mile. But I almost go the other way. I almost want to sort of them to want to come to us. I don't want to have an inferiority complex turn up anywhere and just enjoying the day and being beaten, you know, wherever we go. And we went down to Gosport and they had, you know, sort of 700-800 in the crowds. And, you know, we got beat on the afternoon and probably rightly so. But I don't want to go back and experience that again. The next time I go to a Gosport or a Wimborne, as Steve's saying, is I want to go there and, you know, and beat them, really. So I think for me, I enjoy all of the games. I just want to make sure that, go on.
I was just going to say, what for you, guys, what is the furthest journey? What is the furthest journey for you to travel? Because, I mean, whereabouts are you? Is it Mousel?
Yeah. Well, it's furthest for everyone, isn't it?
But whereabouts are you situated then as a club?
So we're in Bristol, so Crib, right. So north Bristol.
Right on the M5 M4 corridor.
So when you, I mean, looking at your fixtures, I mean, you've got your furthest journey in a few weeks' time, haven't you? I was just trying to see. I did see it pop up. On 4th of November.
4th of November.
Is that a day when you hope that it's not bad weather?
Well, we hope it's not, because we've just booked the hotel for the 3rd of November. So that causes a few complications. I'm not sure the hotel's going to give us our money back, 25 rooms. But yeah.
You don't want to be going down there on a Tuesday night.
No, absolutely not.
How long will it take you to get there?
Four and a half hours.
Right.
But I think you've got to embrace that, haven't you? I mean, I think the problem with Bristol, you know, and everyone in Bristol moans about how far they've got to travel. You know, all I hear from the Western League sides in Bristol is they've got to travel, but yet they want to get promoted. We're embracing it. You know, I look forward to going to all these different places, and we're certainly not making any excuses about having to sit on a bus for 4 hours. You know, it's a lot better than going in the nicest possible way, going to Chipping Sodbury, which is 20 minutes up the road, and you're playing on a pitch the size of a, you know, a terribly small pitch and facilities that you don't want to be in. So, you know, Mousel's a great setup. And we look forward to going there. No problems with the journey. They've got to do it 12 times a season. We've got to do it once. So,
yeah, it's a nightmare for them. But I mean, you've got Tavistock on Wednesday night. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, what's that going to be like, Aaron?
Well, we're open to go down early. They're not on the best of runs at the moment. Obviously, it's one of those where it's going to be nice to get back into to league football, really. You know, as much as it is nice to have these enjoyable days in the Cups, nice to have a couple of games in the league. You know, obviously, we'll have Tavistock Wednesday night, Woolland on Saturday. And then I think we go into the trophy again the week after that. So just to get some game time in the league, really, it's going to be enjoyable. Remember last time, I think when we were in the tool station, I think that was when Luffers just joined and we actually went down there. I'm sure it was. And we went down there and it's a lovely little setup down there as well. So yeah, look forward to it all round, really.
I know the funny thing is when Andrew was on the other week, he said like their local derby, like, you know, Boxing Day, is Tavistock. It's like, you know, I think he seems about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minute drive for his local derby, but it's absolutely incredible. But I mean, tell us a little bit about, you know, tell us a little bit about the club, Aaron, and you know, and you know, what's it like, and tell us about behind the scenes as well.
I'll be perfectly honest with you, David. I mean, I joined in the 2018-2019 season, like Luffer said, under Tony Beecham, came under his management side. So I'd never really had any time with Cribs before that. I was actually a local, I played at our local rivals, Hallen, for many years. That's where I played. And you know, another local side in the Western League, Shirehampton. I was with them. So I didn't really know before, you know, Tony Beecham asked me to come in. I didn't really know a lot about the club, to be perfectly honest with you. It was always one of those clubs that it's always had, you know, great facilities. The pitch has obviously always been immaculate. But yeah, not really sort of had any run-ins with them playing side of things, because when I was playing in totally different leagues to them. So didn't really ever have any run-ins with them. But, you know, it's a fantastic football club. Like I say, I've been here for many years now. I enjoy myself, you know, week in, week out. And it's just a joy to be at. And like I say, it's always, for me, it's always been a sleeping giant. I honestly thought that, you know, there was potential to always do something at this football club. And, you know, it's just going to show now with Luffers coming in and, you know, the players that we've managed to drag in. It's been brilliant. And, you know, it's the only way is up at the moment.
Someone's just texted and asked a question. Now, whether you want to answer this question, I don't know. But they said, why is the Cribbs crest a rugby ball?
We've had many people commenting on that, haven't we? We've been told it looks like a tough paste, a little tough paste, and
it's you know, our chairman Simon Hartley, who's a very the best character you've ever met, but most unique character you've ever met as well. And he's arguably the most stubborn man I've ever met. I mean, he's been told by absolutely everybody that we've got the worst badge in the whole of the pyramids. I mean, you look at the FA Cup, they put the badges together, Cribbs takes up about 75% space up against, you know, in next to Chelsea, in between Chelsea and Derby County, and all you can see is the big Cribbs badge in the middle. But Simon isn't going to change it. No matter who tells him how bad it is, yeah.
But what about the club though? What is the chairman like? What's the secretary like? What's the tea lady like, shall we say? I mean, what is behind the players, but I mean, what is the rest of the club like itself?
Well, it's unique, David. You know, it is really unique. The chairman, the president now, so we've not had our official AGM, but the chairman stood down and will become the president. I mean, he's played nearly 1,000 games for the football club. The chairman now, Simon, I think he's 800 odd games for the football club. The vice chairman's over 1,000 games. Our media manager is 800 games. The reserve team manager's 700 games. You know, we've got people that have been at this football club forever and a day. Brilliant, you know, very clever people. They all come from the AXA Sun Life sort of background, which is an insurance company. They're going to tell me off of that because I think it's not insurance, it's assurance. They're something separate, but it's, whatever they do is intellectual anyway. And we're probably not the most salesy club in the world. You know, we struggled with sponsorship probably and generating money coming in, but we've always been very well organised and good people. I guess that's where, you know, my background's purely sales, and I've come in and generated some money for the club and worked on the sponsorship side alongside them. And, you know, we've got a fantastic group of committee. We've got a first team, a second team that's at step six in the Toolstation League. Very successful team. I mean, they're currently 5 games without a win. And I was chatting to the reserve team manager on the way down, and he said that's the first time in 10 years that they've gone more than 3 games without a win. So they're used to winning. We've got a third team that's top of the Bristol Premier League, or second division, one of the two, but the Bristol League. We've got 2 under-18s and under-17s, a vet side. You know, it's a big football club, and a lot of people's enjoyment, and you know, we're a very, very unique football club. That's the way I always describe it.
Are you playing on grass, or are you playing on 3G?
No, we're on muzzle. Steve will tell you it's the best pitch going, Steve, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that is the main thing that attracted me to Cribbs, to be honest. It's the first thing when you hear Cribbs, it's the pitch, lucky grass, you know, very, very thick grass, and even in the winter, like, where some clubs you've been at, where it's pissing down with rain in the day on a Tuesday night or something like that, I think I'll compete on or off. It's not a chance. I think I've had one home game on in 3.5 years that's been off that over there. So, yeah, it's a lovely surface.
And that's without the sprinklers.
Yeah. Just on the facilities we've got here, like, I was looking at a video the other day just after COVID, and now you play here and we had a man and his dog watching, and there's no fence around the place, no turnstile. It's amazing how much it's come on, really, just the grounds of the place and that. And I think with us being in the Southern League, people are going to start, like local people are going to start realising what, you know, where Cribbs is. It's not just a shopping mall.
What about crowd-wise? I mean, is the crowd sort of built from last year? I mean, you've got, you know, more coming through the game?
Well, we're third highest at the minute, average attendance in the league. That's really skewed by the fact that we had a Friday night local derby against Bristol Manor Farm where we had nearly 600 through. I think if, you know, last year, I think we averaged about 130. We know long term to make this a sustainable Southern League club, we're going to need to double that at least, you know. But we're hoping this year we can average out around 180 to 200. We're fortunate. There's 10,000 houses going up everywhere all around the club. There's houses going up. So we're going to have a community soon. It's Cribbs is a shopping mall, effectively. You know, it's a, so now there'll be the houses on top of that. And hopefully, you know, in years to come, probably past up when me, Aaron and Steve aren't here, you know, it's we're going to have a football club that is well supported and you know, definitely on the map.
I mean, what was the aim for the season when you sort of came up and at the beginning of the season, when you sat down, had that conversation, you guys with the chairman and that? I mean, what was the goals? I mean, you know, was it sort of like, well, let's just stay in the league, let's make playoffs, let's try and go for automatic? I mean, what was your plans before, you know, when you came in?
I guess I best answer this one, really, haven't I? You know, the chairman's very hands-off on the playing side, right? So Simon, again, being Simon, he leaves me to it. I mean, we've over-exceeded sort of the expectation of the club, really. When I took the job on, I said I was going to get us into step four football. That wasn't ever on the radar, really, I don't believe. But, you know, be it the club that they are, they back you and they give you every opportunity to do it. And, you know, and I think probably thought it was a bit of a pipe dream when we said it. You know, we'd finished 17th. In the COVID season, or 16th in, you know, in the Western League, and we're a long way short of competing. So this year, anywhere outside the bottom two has to be deemed our most successful ever season. And I won't reveal what our targets are. We've got them and I've got mine. But I'm not going to be daft enough to sit here to you, David, and say we're going to finish here and then that's in print there. Well, isn't it? But we want to be competitive in every game, and we've done that so far.
So, I mean, what about if you get really super successful, either go up in playoffs or get automatic this year? I mean, does that affect the club in any way? I mean, does it affect the club, or is it sort of set up ready to go for maybe a step three football if you got that lucky to get through and get up into the step three division?
Well, I think it caused some, I'm sure Simon and Robbie, the two that manage the ground at the moment, they've got their work cut out, obviously getting the facility up to state for the 31st of March. I've been told that won't be a problem. And again, they've never gone, everything they've said they'd do, they've delivered on comfortably. I'm sure really in an ideal world, we'd like to get the support base up a little bit. We'd like a year or two to get used to the additional costs. You know, we're looking at, we keep talking about Mousel, but that's the example. Boy, I guess you can use, it's, you know, travel expenses down there, you're talking best part of 1,500 quid for us, even just with a coach. So, you know, if we're going to stay overnight and all the rest of it, it's expensive. There's a lot of added expenses. I think we want to really get a little bit of a foothold of what that looks like in the Southern Division. But if we get there, we'll be trying to stay up at step three, and the club will have to catch up off the field because we're demanding, you know, and if they can't catch up, then, you know, we'd be disappointed. Of course we would, but they will, you know, and that's the sort of club we are. Sometimes you put a plan in place and, you know, you don't get there on the pitch. So we might just have to play catch up off of it if we do it. But so in all honesty, though, David, we're a long way short of even thinking about promotion. If we were to finish in the top half, it'd be, you know, an underdog story and a half. So, yeah, it's nice to dream, but probably a long way short of that.
So have you got to do to the ground before March the 31st? Is there a lot to do? I mean, I know sort of, you know, we're talking about Mousel a few times and Andrew will update us on his, but, you know, they've got a heck of a lot of work to do before March the 31st, themselves as well. So, I mean, is there a lot of work? I mean, is it sort of the same as them with like a stand and also sort of like changing rooms and all that sort of stuff?
No, I think we haven't got much to do. You know, the facility's in good sort of condition, and we've got most of the boxes of ticks. We've, you know, one of an ex-player of ours is a ground grader. So he, you know, 2-3 years ago when I sat in the first committee meeting and I asked that question. Again, he was looking at me like I was mad, thinking we've got no hope of, you know, getting to that level of football. But I think we've got a bit of shelter that needs to go up for 100 people. I think 50-odd seats, and I think that's about it really, David. So yeah, not loads of work to be done.
What about youth? I mean, you talk about your youth sides. I mean, but I ask this question to most managers that I speak to and coaches and that as well. Do you have any say in how they play as well as teams underneath you? So that, for instance, if one of yours, and I say, for instance, always seem to pick the left back, but if you pick the left back, for instance, he goes down and he gets injured, that maybe the left back in under 23s or you're under 18s, he's playing exactly the same system as what you are. So all it is just a matter of him slipping straight into your first team, or do you have no say in, you know, how they play?
I wouldn't say no say. I mean, no say sounds like, you know, the tail's wagging the dog, you know. But I think we let them manage the way that they want to manage. They've been successful. They use players of ours when they're coming back from injury. But we play a very unique way, and we have players from the second team that will train with us that know the system, and we let them manage. It's a, you know, this is a hobby, Dave, isn't it, for most people? You know, none of us are earning any money out of this on the management team. So, you know, I don't want to dictate to people how they play. I want them to enjoy being at Cribs. And, you know, Alec and Rob have got nearly 2,000 appearances between them. So who am I to start telling them how to manage their football team? But we speak regularly. I spoke on the way here. But we don't really have much movement between the first and the second team. Because the levels is a big level in between, you know.
So I'll take it tonight that you're at the ground, Richard.
Yeah, we're all at the ground, yeah.
Oh, you're all in different rooms?
We're all in different rooms, yeah.
You can all hear
I'm in the office. No, I'm in the office. I think Aaron's in the bar. And I don't know where Steve is.
He's in the players' lounge.
You're in the players' lounge on mute. Steve.
Yeah, I just found the corner from Aaron. I can hear him, but luckily I can't see him.
Well, he got up earlier on. I thought he was bringing you a pint.
Trying to shut people up, walking into the club. That's what it was. Struggling to hear.
So I don't know when you've been training tonight. I mean, was that training with training with who tonight? Was that you training them or you training yourself?
Well, we're fortunate. Me and Aaron have had a nice, easy night, really. We've turned up at 6:15, so it's an hour and a half, 6:15 till 7:45. We've got an unbelievable training pitch, but unfortunately, no floodlights on it. So the boys have got here early so they can use the grass. And then we'll use the last 35, 40 minutes on our 3G.
So, do you train in on a Monday night, yeah?
Well, we don't normally, but we've got Tavistock on Wednesday. So the Tuesday and Thursday slots we normally train are sort of a day before and a day after. So me being the hard tar.
It just gets you in, it gives you a bit of hard work.
we're protected because we've got a game in 48 hours. You can't run us tonight. But trust me, if we didn't have a game this, we'd be running tonight if we only had a game Saturday.
I mean, what are you expecting from Tavistock tomorrow night, though? I mean, you know, the last year they were up there around the playoffs, that sort of area last year. So, I mean, you know, they've had a bit of a poor start this year. I mean, what are you expecting to come from them, you know, tomorrow, Steve?
I've never played at Tavistock. Obviously, I think they've had a really good side over the years. I think they've had a few players move on. I expect them to be young, fit, and very busy across the pitch. So it's a midweek game, so the ball's going to move a little bit quicker. So it's going to be a tough game. I can't say I know loads about them. Obviously, they've had a bit of a bad start, so the pressure's on us, really, to go down there and try and get the win. But I think, really, I wouldn't take a draw now, but like you don't want to lose that game. You want to go down there and try and win. Without giving any secrets away, I think we have got a couple missing, so we're going to have to use the squad. But yeah, we're confident going down there. Like, we're in a good run of form, to be honest. So, but in terms of knowing about them, not a great deal, just that I think they are quite a young side.
Aaron, I mean, I was talking to the manager of Ware last, Walthamstow, last night, the local to me, and he said, you know, he had a bit of a nightmare at the weekend where he said, like, he was going into his FA, I think it was FA Trophy, I think it was yesterday game he was playing, and he had a full side. He knew exactly who he was going to play, how he was going to play on the Thursday night. And by the time he got to the Saturday mornings, I think five or six of the players had cooled off. Do you know what I mean? On their nice long trip up to Suffolk from, you know, from London. So do you ever get that with some of these games in midweek or on the Saturday? How do you cope with that scenario?
I mean, to be honest with you, our boys are committed. You know, I've never come across a bunch of lads that aren't, you know, as committed as these boys. They're unbelievably committed. But we're unfortunate at the moment with a couple of lads going on holiday. So we're dropping a couple of lads there side of things. So we got Skip, Jake Hodgson at the moment out injured. So he's a massive loss for us. So, you know, we've got massive depth in squad, and, you know, the lads that are going to come in and fill those spots are more than, you know, capable of doing so. So, we're not too bad on those side of things. It's not very often that we struggle for bodies. You know, we've normally got a good squad of sort of 18, 19 players every week, you know, for every game. So we're never in doubt with body wise.
You find them for going away on holiday during the season?
Well, that's up to Steve. Steve's part of the fines committee. So, you know, that's down to him.
You've got a big one coming for Saturday, mate.
What was the fine for Saturday?
So, unfortunately, I had to... I say unfortunately. It was the wife's birthday, so I ended up taking her away for the weekend. Don't happen very often, but... It's one of those that her birthday is actually Wednesday coming, and I'm travelling down to Tavistock. So I've had to try and keep her sweet slightly.
But I mean, with that, I mean, I know you hear people saying, you know, they're getting married during the season or rest of it. I mean, what's that about? I mean, they know the season starts in August, don't they?
That's right.
In April.
Don't start us on that, David. Unbelievable. I'll give a bit of benefit to Aaron on his holiday at the weekend. He didn't think we'd beat Biddeford at home, so he didn't think we'd have a second round in the trophy. So he was banking on us getting knocked out, I think.
Free weekend, yeah. But I mean, with it though, it must be difficult as a manager as well, though, Rich. That, you know, if you've got, you know, you turn up on a, you know, on a Thursday, and then all of a sudden you get to Saturday morning, and your phone's going mad, and you know, you've got a starting 11 in your mind, whether you've got a big squad or not. If you've got a starting 11 in your mind, and all of a sudden two or three of them phone up and say, look, you know, sorry, Gaffer, you know, I can't make it, and because of work, especially say maybe even like the Mousel game where it's quite a distance, some phone up and say, look, you know, oh, sorry, Gaffer, I ain't coming today. Like, you know, I've got work in the morning type thing, or I can't get off work.
We don't really have it, David, to be honest with you. You're probably talking on the wrong day, because this Wednesday is the first time we've had unavailability for anybody in the whole sort of season so far. When you've got a big squad, and I'm fortunate that I manage my own company and I manage 20 people's diaries, there's probably not a harder taskmaster than me in terms of, you know, I saw the fixtures in June, July for Tavistock, so I made sure that the ones that I know are in office jobs that struggle, they run out of excuses because they were told to book a half day 3 months ago. So, you know, I think when you're at this level of football and the commitment that I put into it, and Aaron and Steve and the whole management team as well that are doing the training now, you either, you know, fit in, or politely, the other word that I won't use on here, because, you know, I think we expect that as a minimum. And I would say, give me 10 lads that turn up every single thing that have got the desire to improve over the Billy, you know, big timer that doesn't want to muck in and miss his games for bad reasons. They wouldn't stay very long, David.
Hmm. Is that because of the fines that Steve gives them? I want to know what he does with the fines. Is he spending himself, or not? Nice little.
We go on a very lucrative football tour every year, the end of every season.
Where's that?
I can't say too much into it because I don't want to incriminate the lads, but we have a good time with it.
I mean, what have you found that, you know, a lot of people say, especially the Keith, who does the show me normally, he always says to me, look, there's a massive, you know, massive difference between step five football and step four football, massive difference between step four and step three football. Have you found that? Has there been a big leap in quality from step five up to step four? Aaron? Go on, Steve.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. The ball moves quicker. Centre half is taller. Goalkeeper's more agile. Centre forward got better shots. Just the percentages just go up. But that's what you want. You want to take yourself, obviously. I'm not sure what Abercorn went before, but obviously, I think we pretty much completed that five. I was pretty bored of the Hellenic League, if I'm honest, going to certain places, and you want to go to the better grounds, play against better players, and test yourself, like I said. So, yeah, bring it on, really. All the lads here at the club deserve to be at step four. They're all good enough. So, we're just enjoying every game, every test that comes our way week by week.
Well, I mean, who's the longest serving player at the club? I mean, played at different levels. Have you got a Luton Town player? You know,
you're probably looking at Jake Hodgson or Matt Spiller, aren't you?
Yeah, both 8 years, 9 years,
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, yourselves. I mean, is this the first time you guys have managed at step three, or say step four, or is it something you've done previously before joining Cribs?
I'm going to bore everyone now. It's first time for me at step four. I know Steve Smiley knows what I'm going to say. At the COVID shutdown, I was top of all Smids, and we were 7 points clear with like five or six games to go. So, you know, for me, it was my first time. It's long overdue, I feel, because I felt that was a tough penalty to not be at the level, you know, 4 years ago. So, yeah,
It's funny you say that.
And then Aaron's first time, and Steve's played at the
level. It's quite funny you say that about the COVID years, because there's a club close to here, to where I am in Essex, and when you looked at all the league tables, you know, during those sort of COVID 2 years, majority, I would probably say, I don't know, maybe even 90% of the clubs that were sitting top of those leagues during the COVID times have actually ended up getting themselves promoted either the next year or the year after. And it's one poor side where that were literally miles in front on the first COVID season and have never seemed to just be able to get over that winning line, or they've lost on penalties in a semi-final playoff. They were an incredible game in the Central League final against Norfolk a couple of seasons ago. They were sort of winning the game and then got it back and then with defeat, and then there was like three goals in the last sort of 2 minutes of the game or something stupid like that, and they ended up losing again. So it's they're the only sort of really unfortunate side sort of this area.
Yeah, well, there was another in Hereford, Westfields were top of the Hellenic League, hadn't lost the game in 25 games. And, I feel sorry for the managers in those positions because, you know, the manager of Westfields is left, got sacked by all accounts during the week. And, you know, it would have been a lot different for Phil if that season would have continued. He'd been the first manager to get in a step four. And, you know, instead he's out of a job 3 years later and probably thinking, what if, you know? And it's it's fine margins in football, isn't it? And we all work. No matter what we do, whether you're on the committee, a player, a manager, you put your heart and soul into it. And when you work hard and you don't get your just reward, it's difficult to say, isn't it?
No, absolutely. Well, we did say, on social media, there's been a bit of really big news that I was going to share with everybody. And I'll share that now because Andrew's joined us from Mousel, and he's got a bit of big news as well, because I don't know if he knows it, because I've just seen it posted tonight on their Twitter feed. So the big news for the Southern League, and of course the big news also for Mousel as well, is that Mousel have been nominated in the Football Content Awards as Club of the Year for non-league, and the Summer League Goal Show, which is, of course, your show with all your goals and everything else in it, has also been nominated for Video Non-League in the Football Content Award. And I'm going to be a little bit selfish here and say, guys, it'd be great if you can just go on there, get the link, and we'll put the link in the description on the show tonight, and get on there and vote for Mousel, and, of course, also vote for the Summer League Goal Show, because the presentation is going to be held in Anfield, the home of Liverpool, of course, in November. So it'd be great if we could come away with two first places. It'd be quite nice for the Southern League and give us plenty of coverage as well in all the local press and national press as well, which would be fantastic to maybe getting sponsors, not only for the league, but also, of course, as well for all the individual clubs in there. So I asked all the clubs that are watching this and when it gets retweeted, et cetera, just to go down there and vote for the Southern League Goal Show and, of course, also vote for Mousel as well, Club of the Year. And, of course, Andrew, great that you join us again tonight and you come back to us with, another win.
Yes. In the FA Trophy, first ever FA Trophy match to be played at Mousel. And I have to say, we made hard work of it in the first half. We were up against Tavistock, who were, as we've said before, are our local derby rivals. They're only 90 miles away, but that's the way it goes. And they were the better team in the first half and really should have been, they should have been ahead by half time. As it was, we nicked a goal right on the stroke of half time from a penalty. And I think words must have been spoken in the dressing room, because in the second half, it was a totally different match. And it's how we should have played throughout. So I think it's a bit of a lesson that if you start slowly, it's very, very, very difficult to pick up speed. You just give the initiative to your opponents. So we're there, we're into the third qualifying round.
And play. Which
is quite something. And we are away at Lark Hall Athletic, which is, it's going to be, we've got three consecutive Saturdays going up to that part of the world. So we've got Yate Town in the league this Saturday. Then we go to Lark Hall Athletic, which is a stone's throw from there, the Saturday after. And the Saturday after that, we go to Frome Town, which is about two stone throws from there. So quite interesting. We haven't got a home league match until the 21st of October. And that's a big one against Willand, who are the league leaders at the moment. And of course, so exciting times, very interesting.
And of course, the home game after that, you're going to be taking on, of course, our other guests tonight, of course, Cribs and Rich, Steve and Aaron. And that's you, the next home game after that.
It is. Is that?
That's the 4th of November.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, the night before fireworks.
Well, Steve's, I don't know if Steve's told you this, David, offline or not, but he's a big Mousel fan. He watches all of your shows. And when he went up to watch you at Manor Farm, he was celebrating all your goals. So I look forward to going down to Mousel.
Yeah, that's good. But he had to hold his breath until the 96th minute.
Enjoy their programme on YouTube then, Steve?
Yeah, to be fair, I can't lie. I do call the internet for all the content of non-league. So, yeah, you've got me on that one. But, Mousel is good. Is it Pablo that does it? I felt when I seen him up close in the face, I got a bit gun-shy, to be honest. I thought that was a bit starstruck.
Well, Pablo was on here the other week. He was actually on here, but he's got too big for us now. He's on BBC Cornwall and all that now, Andrew, isn't he?
Oh, God, yes. The whole world's a stage for him, yeah. but I mean, for those who are new to this programme, we are very, very lucky that a couple of years ago, a gentleman called Kevin Bishop joined Mousel, who is an ex-BBC sports journalist and producer, and from that moment on, our media coverage has taken off. And he teaches still at Falmouth University. So on Saturday, we had, I think it must have been three of his students there, all doing different things in the name of sports journalism during the match. So it's great experience for them. And hopefully it's a good line on their CV when they come to apply for jobs after they've graduated.
And Kevin's coverage is absolutely outstanding, though, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah, he's a real star.
He's absolutely top draw. I must admit, I'm waiting for him to send the goals through. He hasn't done it yet, so I'm waiting for him to send the goals through from your game at the weekend. So I know he will. It will come through ready for me to start doing stuff with tomorrow afternoon. But I mean, next game up for you. I mean, tell everybody who your next game is. I mean, your next game is Yate away. I mean,
Yate Town on Saturday. Yet another team we've never played before, never visited. But I was looking at their record. They got relegated from the Premier last season, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
And although they're in a lowly position, I mean, the way we're looking at it, we've played lots of matches this season, but we've only played 5 league games. And I think by the general consensus, you never start establishing where you think you are until you've played 10. So it is very, very early days. And it's feet on the ground time for us. We're very pleased with our start. But if you look at the facts, we've not played a league side above 9th in the table. All our games so far have been below 9th. Yeah, I think Bashley are the highest side we've played. So we've got some reality checks to come. There's no doubt about it. And I also think anyone at this stage of the season can start to, you know, build up a head of steam, anyone in the league.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a great league, isn't it? I mean, Andrew and, you know, Aaron and Rich, Steve. I mean, the actual league itself is a good standard, would you say?
100%. Yeah, no, it's a bit, yeah. We played 4 league games and 2 in the trophy against teams in our league, and you know, there's been nothing between all 6 games could have gone either way. You know, obviously, Mal's all the favourites to win the league. I've been told that everywhere I've gone so far.
Certainly, you know, not from us. All we want to do is be an established Southern League club. Let's leave it at that.
I'm only joking, Andrew. I'm only joking.
Yeah, I know.
You've had a brilliant start.
Yeah.
Who would you?
I agree with what you say about the standard. I mean, it is not just a step up in terms of, you know, the National League structure. It's a step up in terms of skill, physicality, speed, strength, all those things.
I mean, you say favourites. Who would you say are the favourites to win it?
Do you mean me?
Yeah, go on, let's start with you, Andrew.
Well, everyone's talking about Wimborne. That's my understanding. You know, we go there in about 6 weeks' time. But there's also teams doing well like Melksham. And I always think never discount the teams that have got relegated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they've got a point to prove, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they've got the structural base to want to go back up. But I mean, it isn't always in the first season after relegation. Mm-hmm. So I was following the fortunes of Barnstaple, who, of course, were in the Southern League 2 years ago. Yeah, they got relegated. I don't think they had a point on the board in November. And they had a big change around, but they still couldn't avoid relegation. Last season, they finished something like 4th in the Western League. They're going great guns this season. So maybe it takes more than one season after relegation to sort of climb back to where you think you should be.
Anybody agree with that?
What, favourites for the league?
Yeah.
I think I get on quite well with Greavesy and yeah. Samo at Froome, so they probably won't thank me for this, but I think Froome are, you know, the players that they've got, they should be in amongst it. Bashley were here a couple of days ago, and, you know, we were really impressed with Bashley, and they're spending a lot of money to try and win it. So, you know, them, Wimborne, yeah. You know, I'm not just saying it. I think Malzahn will be right up there. You know, they've no divine right to be getting promoted the year before, but the way they've started, they are in the conversation. Whether Andrew wants that or not, they are in the conversation. So, you know, you've got 4 or 5 really good sides. I think you could say if there's probably 12 to 15 sides that you could say that would win the league, it wouldn't be a huge surprise. You look at Willand, the top at the moment. They were 4th bottom last year, weren't they? You know, I think it's that open, it could be anyone.
Yeah.
And it is a bit funny how you said that. It's quite a little bit of a, when you look at the table, it almost feels like a little bit of a swap round. Do you know what I mean? Like Hamworthy, you were up there last year. I think they finished 3rd last year. They're down in 16th. you know, and Tavistock were up there last year, Exmouth, Evesham, they were all up there last year. And it just feels really weird when you look at the table and it almost looks like you need to turn it up the other way when you know what how the league fit sort of played out last year. So, you know, as Andrew said, who knows, it could be like a slow start for some of them because of all the cup games getting in the way of yeah. a good bit of legal run. But what you just said there, Rich, I mean, Froome Town having a great go in the actual in the cups as well, beating Plymouth Parkway the other day as well, with some, you know, and there were some absolutely stunning goals as well in that, especially the first game. And one of their players actually won goal of the week this week. So maybe I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, I should have waited until Wednesday, but they did. You know, it's you know, so they are in a good bit of form.
Mm-hmm. I think the way to look at it is there's just 33 games to go. That's all.
So what we're saying is anybody can win it, really, because that's 99 points. So Tavistock could still get 100 points this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. We played Tavistock twice, once in the league and one in the FA Trophy. It is unbelievable. They're bottom of the table. That's not going to last. So, you know, everyone to some extent is either in a, not a flattering position, but, and not a false position, but they're, you know, there's absolutely nothing decided. And I don't think you can take any predictions from anything at the moment.
That's not what you wanted to wear, Rich, was it? Hey.
Well, I'm hoping they're bottom coming Wednesday night. Yeah. I mean, I have no bad feeling towards Tavistock. So if they're off the bottom Wednesday, it means we've got a horrible journey home. So, we've got, you know, one of our former players plays for Tavistock. Ed, who's a brilliant footballer, and yeah, they got some great players. So we're going down there, which is mad to say this. You know, we're coming up to October and we're in seventh place and they're bottom. And I think everyone would be surprised if we went there again, really.
I think the other thing surprised as well is you say what you just said. You know, we're almost in October, you know, and you know, as you said earlier on, Rich, you played four games in the league and we're in October. I mean, it's just mad.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the table and I think, there's a couple of teams that are, you know, like Willand have played six and Westbury and Malvern have played six, you know, but there's a lot of teams on there that have only played sort of like four and five. And it just seems really crazy that, you know, that we are in that situation where we're, you know, almost hitting October and you've played next to no games whatsoever, really, in the league.
Mm. It's interesting that, Dave, because in the Western League last season, we'd played five league games by the end of August, as well as cup games, because there were quite a lot of midweek games that were fed into the early part of the season. And I think that's the sort of strategy of the Western League, is to get as many games played in the good weather part of the season so you don't have fixture pile-ups later on.
Yeah. How many did you play? Do you know, Rich?
We were at 10. By the 3rd of September, we played 10 league games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just...
I mean, that's the step five football. I mean, we always, you know, step five, if you start badly, if your first month's bad, you can kiss goodbye to finishing anywhere near the top, because you play 25% of your league games across a five-week window. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's hope we don't have bad weather this year or only the teams that...
I mean, one of
Bishop's Cleeve and Hamworthy are going to get the games played. But...
I mean, one of the weird things to finish with, is weird as well for me, is that one of the local sides around here in Harlow Town, they're in step six at the moment. And, you know, in no disrespect, when you look at the games that they've played so far this year, and they play quite a few, they play on a 3G surface. And I would say a good 75% of their games have all been at home. And I sometimes look at that and think, if you've got a 3G surface, surely you'd want to play, you know, the games during the bad weather at home, and the good weather you'd want to be playing away. But, you know, the league would want those teams to do that. But I think because they're in step six and because a lot of the teams in their league that they're playing in the Furlough Nun League down this end of the country, a lot of them actually share grounds with, say, Isthmian clubs and maybe Southern clubs as well. So, of course, they can't necessarily play at home when you really want them to, such that they have to go and play away because of the clashes of all the fixtures. Do you have that problem anywhere down near you, Aaron? I mean, there's plenty of clubs near you that have got 3G services.
Yeah, you've got one at the road, Roman Glass, who were in our league last year. They've got 4G. Trying to think of other sites. You've got Toolstation teams like Longwell Green and Boco, people like that, really. There's not nobody else really around our ways that have got them, to be honest with you.
What about in the Southern League, in South? Is there any teams in there that have got 4G, 3G?
Bishop Cleeve and Malvern.
Bishop Cleeve and Hamworthy.
Oh,
and
Melvin.
Okay.
You asked if there were any 3G pitches down our way, Dave.
Yeah.
The answer is no league clubs have got 3G pitches or 4G pitches. But one of the difficulties is quite a lot of colleges have got 3G pitches. And because of the rules about the Football Foundation funding, if you've got a football club within a certain radius of a college that's got a 3G pitch, you are not eligible for a grant to install a 3G pitch at your league ground.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But it's very interesting because somewhere like Mauser, which is probably one of the wettest parts of the country, when it's wet, it's wet, would really benefit from a 3G pitch. But to get one, we'd have to take out finance and recoup it from renting the pitch out. And because, as you know, we're not actually in the middle of a centre of population, there's no certainty you could get enough usage and enough rental income to justify the capital expenditure and the loan in the first place. But I think it would be an asset. Not everyone likes 3G pitches, but we also don't like successive postponements in midwinter when it's, you know, despite all the drainage schemes that we've got, if it rains and it rains and it rains and it rains and it's still raining on match day, it's very difficult to host a match.
Yeah. But in all fairness, 3G pitches, I mean, you know, you're one of those sort of grass pitches down at Mousel that looks like a 3G pitch because your does an absolutely superb job on it, doesn't he? Him and his dog.
Yeah. That's Billy Jacker. Name check. it's an absolute, and he's been working on this to get it to this state for several years now. And the idea is to create a pit, like every groundsman, create a pitch surface that matches the aspirations of the football coaching staff to play a certain style of football.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to pass it around. It doesn't work so well on a ploughed field.
Well, listen,
I must have missed that memo at our club. We've got the best pitch in the league and all we want to do is shell it.
Listen, guys, time's absolutely flown by and I've really enjoyed the company of everybody tonight. A massive thank you, of course, to the guys from Cribs, Rich, Steve and, of course, Aaron for interrupting your training night. So thank you very, very much indeed for coming to join us. All the best on a Wednesday night with Tavistock. And, of course, also a massive thank you to Andrew at Mousel. And it's great. But as we said earlier on, we'll be back next week. But please don't forget, if anybody out there that did know Steve Whitney, of course, the press officer from the Summer League that we lost tragically last week. If you want to send in a tribute to him, video tribute to him, or even if it's just an email that you want me to read out, we are going to be doing a tribute to Steve Whitney on the YouTube page, on the YouTube channel in the coming weeks. So please make sure you get those in to me. Same address as you send your goals into. Send those in, all those tributes in to me, to the great man, and we will put together a show to celebrate his life. And we do know that we are going to speak to Mark Harris from the Northern Premier League. He's going to come on and give his tribute to Steve because they used to work together. Of course, Nick Robinson from Yiss Mid League, he will also be coming on as well. And of course, we'll get the Southern League guys on as well for their tribute to the great man as well. So if you do, send it along. But also don't forget, vote Mousel and vote the Southern League Goals of the Week show in the Football Content Awards. We need your vote. So please, 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 you won't hear me stop talking about it until the deadline. So please make sure that you're actually getting those votes in. And from me and from the lads, good night. And I'll see you next week.
Cheerio, everyone.